بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: ألف لام ميم، ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، هدى للمتقين. وقال تعالى: لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله، وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين سئل، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنها ستكون فتن. قالوا: ما المخرج منها يا رسول الله؟ قال: كتاب الله. صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. درس رسالة درود شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, I have recited from the Quran verses relating to the Quran, and I have also quoted a tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relating to the subject matter and the importance of the Quran. The Quran, as we all know, is the last and final testament revealed unto mankind. There is no other book to come after the Quran. It is the last and final book that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon earth for the guidance of humanity and mankind. So we will call it the final testament. You speak about, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Quran is the final testament. There is no testament to come after the Quran, because there is no prophet to come after the Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as he is Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the Prophet, the Quran is the seal of wahi and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran indeed is our book of guidance. The Quran is our manual of life. And in it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has encompassed whatever guidance we require for every aspect of our life, from our birth to our death and beyond, and from our personal life to our public life, from our individual life to our collective life. All the guidances that are required have been provided in the Holy Quran. Therefore, in the very opening verses of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the very first few verses, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the very book in which there isn't any iota of doubt, and it is huda, it is a guidance for those who are righteous, or those who wish to become righteous. The Quran is the guidebook. It is the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the Quran. The Quran introduces itself. The Quran gives its own introduction, and it says that it is the book of guidance. And whoever will hold fast unto this guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him guidance and keep him on the path of guidance, and he will remain on the straight path, and he will remain on as-sirat al-mustaqim. Actually, the commentators of the Quran explain a beautiful point when they say that there is a connection between every verse of the Quran to the next verse. All the verses are connected to each other. The first verse is connected to the second verse, and the second verse is connected to the third verse, and so on and so forth. The Quran is not a disjointed book that the verses are just there and you read one ayat will say something, another ayat is saying something else. No. That is not the nature of the Quran. The Quran is a book that is very connected and joined and a complete tapestry, as we will say. And there is a subtle connection between the verses of the Quran. Each verse is linked to the next verse. And not only are the verses linked with each other, but the chapters of the Quran are also linked with one another. The first chapter is linked to the second chapter, and the second chapter is linked to the third chapter, and so on and so on. There is a subtle connection between the verses themselves and between the chapters. This is what is called Rabtul Ayat or Rabtul Suwar, the connection between verses and the connection between the chapters of the Quran. So we find that they are subtle connections. Sometimes we cannot perceive it with our limited knowledge, with our limited understanding, with our limited capacity and intellect. We are unable to perceive the connection. That is due to our shortcoming and our weakness and our failings. But those whom Allah has given the capability, the mental capacity, the spirituality, they are able to perceive the connection from verse to verse. And in fact, ulama have already written books on the subject matter. They have delved deep into the ocean of the Quran. And they have dived deep and pulled out those beautiful pearls from the ocean bed of the Quran and brought it up and made it available for the ummah to benefit. So they've actually written books on the subject matter of how verses are connected and how the chapters are connected. So coming back to my point, I was trying to mention that there is a connection between Suratul Fatiha and Suratul Baqarah. Suratul Fatiha, we sing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. We have requested, we have made a plea to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to the plea. We have requested, we have implored for guidance. We want guidance. We want to be on the straight path. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So when we ask for guidance and we want to be on the straight path, then Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You ask for اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. You ask for guidance. You supplicated to me for guidance. You made dua for guidance. Surah Al-Fatiha is also called Surah Al-Dua. It's also called Surah Al-Mas'ala. It's a dua, it's a surah of supplication. It is a surah of imploring from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guidance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to our dua. When we make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He responds to our dua. That's a subject matter that's separate on its own. How Allah responds to our duas, etc., is a separate matter. But we're talking about, here we ask Allah for guidance in the Quran, and we started reading from the beginning, and we said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and we started asking Allah for guidance. So the moment we ask for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not delay the process of His servants calling on Him. He responds immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded immediately. What was the response? Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَاب, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. You want guidance? Here it is. This is the book of guidance. Now whatever is in this book of guidance, follow it and you will acquire and you will attain the guidance that you are seeking. So my dear friends, the Quran is our book of guidance, and it is extremely important that we make an effort to seek that guidance from the Quran. We make an effort to understand the message of the Quran. We make an effort to, you know, make an analysis of the verses of the Quran and how we can draw from the treasure of the Quran, how it can impact on our life, how it can be a source of guidance for us, how it can shape our lives, it can change our thinking, how it can mold our life in the proper mold. This is what we need to have the relationship with the Quran. So, before I go further on explaining certain aspects, I want to touch on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which I touched upon, or which I recited in the beginning, in which Nabi Karim ﷺ mentioned on one occasion, innaha, this is narrated by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the beloved beloved son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his beloved cousin, and the fourth khalif in Islam, and a man of amazing capacity, capabilities, and qualities. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with oratory. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala was very eloquent. He could speak off the cuff in the most eloquent words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with bravery. He was extremely brave and courageous. In every major battle of Islam, he would be right in the forefront, and normally it was the trend of the battles of the past that they would try to gain some kind of psychological benefit over the enemy, each army trying to gain a psychological benefit over the enemy or psychological advantage over the enemy. So what they would do is, before the actual battle, they would have single-handed combat. And each army would select its best fighters, the strongest, bravest fighters, and they would send their three best fighters forward, and they would challenge the opposite army, that these are our fighters, you produce your fighters, and let's see if you can take them on. The idea was to intimidate the opposite side, that if you can't fight our three individual fighters, then you're not going to win the battle. So it was a psychological way of gaining advantage, and obviously the army whose fighters were defeated, they would already suffer some kind of psychological setback and defeat in their minds, realizing that these people are stronger than us. So this was the technique of war of the past, and they would send the three best fighters into the field, and this happened in the battle of Badr, this happened in the battle of Uhud, and it happened in other battles. And when the enemy would send their three strong men into the battlefield, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would choose and select the strongest from his side to go into the battlefield. And who did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam select? He selected none other than Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that is why Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as Asadullah, the lion of Allah. Asadullah al-Jabbar, the mighty roaring lion of Allah. That was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the battle of Badr, when the enemy sent their three strongest soldiers forward, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Ali, and he sent Sayyidina Hamza, and he sent one of his cousins, and he sent them to fight the battle. And Allahu Akbar, the lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was so brave, so strong, so courageous, that nobody could vanquish him in the battlefield. Within minutes, he wiped out and eliminated his foe, his enemy, and the enemy was cut into pieces, and he returned victorious, shouting the takbir and the glorifying the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sometimes it's important to have just even a basic background about the most noblest personalities in the ummah, from whom we got our Islam, from whom we got our deen. Our whole deen the whole foundation of our deen is hinging upon these personalities. The building, you can have a skyscraper going 100 floors and 160 floors and higher. The people are competing now in putting up taller and taller buildings, this burj and that tower, this one higher than that one and so on. But remember, the strength of the building is in the foundation. If there is a solid foundation, then the building can go as high as you want it to go. And if the foundation is weak, then even a one-story building will collapse to the ground. So the foundation of our deen, that is why our deen is so rock solid, and it has lasted 1400 years, and it will carry on till the end of time, till Qiyamah, inshaAllah. What is it that gives our deen the strength that no matter how many efforts were made by the enemies to destroy this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they could never succeed because the foundation is rock solid. And who are the foundations of this deen? The companions of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba ikram. They are the foundations of this deen. They laid that foundation, they are the very foundation. And because we have such a solid foundation, this deen will prevail till the day of judgment. All other religions came, and after a period of time, 1 century, 2 centuries, 5 centuries, 8 centuries, they became distorted, interpolated, and it disappeared. Or it became completely unrecognizable from its original form. But Islam, 1400 years have gone. The Islam we have today is the very same Islam of 1400 years ago. The Islam that we have today is the same Islam of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Islam of Quran and Sunnah, that is the Islam that we have and for which we will remain forever indebted to the illustrious companions of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, it has always been an effort of the enemies of Islam to try to weaken our foundation. And how do they weaken our foundation? They weaken our foundations by trying to find fault and criticize and weaken the personalities of these great men. That if they can find fault with them, criticize them, find some kind of shortcomings, deficiencies, weaknesses in them, so automatically our conviction and our confidence in them will be shaken. When our confidence in these people will be shaken, our confidence in Islam will be shaken. Because these are the people from whom we received the Quran. These are the people from whom we received the Sunnah. So if we are doubting the very people from whom we received Quran and Sunnah, what is left of Islam? What Islam is left anymore? So the foundations of Islam are these personalities, and it is through them that Islam came to the world. Islam was preserved by them in the first era, and then by the era subsequently, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah took the responsibility himself of preserving this deen through the personalities that came in this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun." We have revealed this guidance, this book of guidance, this book of remembrance, this Quran, and we will safeguard it, we will protect it. The protection of the Quran is the responsibility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored His servants to fulfill their role of preserving and protecting the message of the Quran till the end of time. So no matter how many efforts will be made by the enemies of Islam, open and hidden, they try to distort Islam, they try to damage Islam, they try to erode the foundation and roots of Islam, they will never succeed because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken that responsibility. He will preserve and He will use the agencies of His servants to preserve Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to build some kind of a big fort like Fort Knox and put a big safe and preserve Islam in some... Islam will be preserved by the personalities who will be selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it was in the history of Islam. So my dear friends, coming back to this narration of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I've given you a little kind of overview of the personality of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He's that person who was extremely eloquent, extremely brave and courageous in the battlefield, and the greatest level of bravery was displayed at the time of the battle of Khaybar. He is known as Fatih Khaybar, the conqueror of Khaybar, and he got this title because he single-handedly extracted and pulled out the gate of the fort of Khaybar by himself, which 40 people could not move. Allah gave him that kind of strength and power that single-handedly he removed the gate of Khaybar, and the Muslims were able to march into Khaybar victoriously, and they conquered the fort of Khaybar. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the personality who enabled the victory of Khaybar. So he will ever be remembered in the annals of history as the conqueror and the Fatih Khaybar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with eloquence, with bravery, with courage, and he was extremely intelligent, very, very witty, very intelligent, very, very astute, very sharp. All the Khulafa Rashidin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, they would keep him as their special advisor. In any issue of complication, they would call for Sayyidina Ali, and they would take his view, and they would seek his opinion, and in most instances, his opinion would be taken as the most appropriate and the best, most suitable view. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَأَقْضَاهُمْ Ali, the one who has the most ability, the greatest ability of judging in matters, the ability to differentiate matters and issues, is Sayyidina Ali. He has got that ability and that quality in him. And on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the very occasion of the battle of Khaybar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people, tomorrow I will give the flag, that is the command of the army of the Muslims, to one person, that he is such a person, يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He is such a person that he loves Allah and Allah's Rasul, and Allah and Allah's Rasul loves him. This is that person that will be given the flag, and that was an indication that he will be asked to lead the army, an honorary position. So every Sahabi spent a restless night in anticipation that perhaps I will be called forward and I will be granted this honor. What a great accolade, what an honor to be given the title and the honor that you love Allah and Allah's Rasul, and not only that, Allah and Allah's Rasul love you. That is the highest accolade that any human being can enjoy on earth. And lo and behold, in the morning, everyone was waiting with bated breath, in anticipation, who is going to be this fortunate and lucky personality? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then called for Ali. And he said, where is Ali? Call Ali. And he called for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he handed the flag or the banner of Islam to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the people realized that this is that fortunate and lucky personality regarding whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated this. These words. So this is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. To conclude the hadith, he quotes this hadith, he narrates this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّهَا سَتَكُونُ fitan, O people, there will be lots and lots of mischief and dissension and strife that will overtake the world. There will be confusion in ideologies and beliefs and actions and practices, in customs and ways. There will be complete chaos on earth. There will be anarchy. There will be confusion. There will be mischief. There will be strife. People wouldn't know whether they're coming or going. This is fitna. Fitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word plural. Not one, but several fitnas. And there are many other ahadiths on which he predicted there will be fitnas on earth. So the companions were very perturbed and disturbed and worried, obviously. So they asked, مَا الْمَخْرَجُ مِنْهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Show us a way out when the fitnas do emerge. What is the way to safeguard and protect ourselves and our families from these fitnas? And he said one single statement, Kitabullah, the book of Allah. Hold fast to this book of Allah. Hold tight to the book of Allah. Keep it close to your heart. Adopt it. Practice it. Implement it. propagate it, promote it, hold tight, hold fast to it, make it your book of guidance. If we hold on to Kitabullah, then my dear friends, it is a savior and a protection and guidance in the darkness of fitnas. It is a shining light that we will see our destination and we will find our path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran, that book that it's supposed to be for the Ummah, an absolute guide and a perfect manual. If we adopt it, inshallah, we will see a very, very bright future. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.